Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Tafara.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And yourself?
Lovely, doing fantastic indeed. We talk about digital evangelism and online ministry. And we are called to share the word of God, as emphasized in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of age. As Christians, you know, having looked at this verse, we have a divine duty to preach the gospel to those who are yet to encounter Christ. And one of the options available to us in 2025 is the use of digital evangelism and online ministries. I call it the digital age. Now, Tafara, what is digital evangelism exactly?
Well, digital evangelism is a very simple concept that saw its rise in the early 2000s, or actually some years back, even before the 2000s. But I believe ever since COVID, it has had a large explosion where digital evangelism became a very common term in people's churches. I believe in board meetings, in ministry meetings of any sorts. And simply put, digital evangelism is evangelism that is done online and not in person. So the recording of videos, sharing verses, whatever digital media one uses with the aim of reaching souls. So as evangelism is known as, you know, spreading the good news, this is just spreading the good news digitally.
Now, you know, with spreading the good news digitally, I always think of, you know, the days when we actually have, you know, efforts, tents, etc., where people come and listen to the sermon and there's an appeal made and people would give themselves to Christ and people would literally start a new journey in Christ, culminating, you know, in a week of prayer where people come to a hall, to a tent, to a church, and it culminates to people actually giving themselves to Christ. Now, I suppose digital evangelism is different then, because people are sitting in their dining rooms, etc. What should then be the ultimate goal of digital evangelism?
I believe the goal doesn't necessarily change because it remains evangelism, right? So with the traditional tent meetings, the goal then be, you know, to get people to be baptized as a symbol of them getting into a committed relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in its essence, I believe the goal of evangelism is to aid people in getting a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So whether that is done in person, one-on-one, with an entire crowd, a small classroom, or even online, with sharing, you know, messages to people that you might not know personally, end result still is to help people form a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the verse you read at the beginning, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, it says, our goal is to make disciples of all men, teaching them all things that Jesus Christ taught, and causing them to you know, understand the gospel and to eventually baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the mandate, the goal is given in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, and it remains the same across the board for all forms of evangelism. I hope that makes it clear.
Yeah, no, it's clear. except that you know, we unfortunately then don't get to see the results. I suppose that's God's business, because whether a person gets convicted by that message they hear on the line, where they're sitting in their bedroom but enjoying some rest, we'd never know. So I suppose let's leave God's things to God, eh?
Yes, definitely. The results won't always be visible and in person, but my understanding of digital evangelism would be, you know, to form relationships wherever possible. And it can even result in someone being linked to there to a local or meeting the person if they are close to you. And in that way, we can actually see the progress of the person. However, in what I said of the end result being causing people to have a close and personal relationship with Jesus, it would speak more to the structure or the methodology that someone uses in their digital evangelism. It's no longer just a mere, oh, I'm preaching Jesus, or you know, I mentioned Jesus in my caption or my comment or something. But it should be a systematic progression from, you know, I'm aiming to reach this kind of person, and I'm taking these kind of steps and teaching these kind of messages progressively, so that whoever is following starts from a certain point and they reach a certain point where they are now at a point where they understand the essence of the gospel and have a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Now, how can digital evangelism complement traditional methods?
I think that's a very, very good way of putting the question, because some might think that, hey, these digital evangelists are downplaying the traditional form of evangelism. But I like that you say it complements, or how can it complement? Because I believe these methods should all be complementary. It should all culminate to one end goal. And in looking at it in the traditional sense of evangelism, we sometimes struggle to get people to even come to that traditional tent meeting or even understand the demographics of the people that we are dealing with. But in the online space, you are able to advertise things more efficiently, more effectively, and you are able to reach people where they are. So even if you do have an in-person traditional way of evangelism, you still can benefit from you know, digital evangelism, because I mean, if there's a crusade being held, you would want to advertise it on Facebook online, and you know, post your advert all over the place, and that is a form of digital evangelism in some sense. But the way that digital evangelism can supplement or complement the traditional way of evangelism is that this day and age, time is money. And we need the efficiency in order to reach people. Instead of calling people every Tuesday night for a Bible study, a Zoom meeting can be a form of evangelism. You know, people are in the comfort of their homes, all they need to do is log in and listen to you preaching or discuss with you via Zoom or Google Meet or whatever platform you might have chosen. And there are so many ways of, you know, using the traditional methods and integrating them into the digital evangelism space. And by so doing, you can form those relationships and actually open those doors and not threaten people by knocking at their door and quote-unquote invading their privacy, you know. But reaching out to people online is a more soft and subtle way of actually entering into the people's spaces.
Lovely. Now, there's so many platforms out there. What would you say are effective digital platforms for evangelism?
Well, it all depends on what the goal of the individual is, but a couple of options that I have seen being utilized and have utilized myself would be the good old Facebook. Facebook has shown to be a very wide base for people of all ages and demographics. Although it's more especially the older folk, you can still do some sort of evangelism on Facebook, whether it's posting photos or videos. There's also Instagram, which I have realized targets now the younger audience. It's more likely, you know, 35 or 16 teenagers to age 35, where you can target the younger generation on Instagram. And of course, you would create content that's more curated to their interests and target issues and matters that pertain to those kind of people. So you have Facebook, you have Instagram, you even have TikTok. And I mentioned Zoom and Google Meets for more formal setups and more Bible study kind of style, where you can discuss with people and interact with them. And there's a myriad of other digital evangelism platforms that people have utilized, even as simple as WhatsApp. I've seen people creating WhatsApp groups and communities in order to have that kind of, you know, passions, or even just a broadcast group where one sends, whether it be devotionals or, you know, messages or motivational, you know, quotes for community. And people have benefited from such, and I've heard testimonies of people that have benefited from such things. So it can really be as simple as just WhatsApp, or you can even take it as complex as, you know, platforms such as YouTube, and now you create your own YouTube channel that is specifically focused on that digital ministry that you would have, and, you know, go as far as editing your videos, doing all the fine tuning of whatever content you're creating. So it's a wide variety of things that one can do in the online space.
Mm-hmm. Now, people often retort that everyone these days has a microphone. Is the online ministry space oversaturated? Is there still room for some more?
I totally understand where the question would come from, and I see how it would seem to make some sense. But I believe that as long as there is availability of, you know, spreading the gospel and reaching even one person, I don't think it will ever be too much, because each individual has a circle of influence, whether it's in person or digitally. Each individual has a sphere of influence, and you can utilize that sphere of influence to reach someone. So yes, as much as everyone has a, you know, camera and a microphone, they could do something. And I myself have found myself victim of, you know, sometimes looking at some ministries and saying, but you're not doing, you know, the right thing. I feel like you could, you know, do something of a higher quality. But I've come to realize that even the low, quote unquote, low quality, or, you know, just the cell phone ministry can reach someone. And I believe the greatest goal is actually to start with these kind of things. Growth will come as one goes. And I have seen many people that have started small and have grown and developed their skill of, you know, digital evangelism, and have actually reached many, many souls, and people have actually come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and the gospel in its entirety through their ministry. So if you wait till you have reached the level of AWR and you are now doing broadcast to baptism, it might not be the best way, you know, to wait till you have been a nuanced digital evangelist. But rather, I would encourage each and every person to start wherever they are and to grow as they go, because God is calling us, you know, to use whatever we have in our hands. In the book of Exodus chapter 4, when God was calling Moses to his ministry, Moses was shy and was making all different sorts of excuses. And God asked him, "What is in your hand?" And he had a staff in his hand, that, and God used that as an indication that he wants him to work for him. And so I believe God is calling young men and young women today, and is asking them, "What is in your hand?" And most of the times it's actually just the cell phone. So I believe God is calling people to use whatever they have in their hands to actually utilize it for the advancement of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would you say, Sam, and I think you've probably managed to cover this a bit. What are the major benefits, you know, and drawbacks of digital evangelism and online ministry?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I like you said, we have covered a couple of benefits in the discussion, but maybe let me start off with the potential drawbacks in digital evangelism. Well, when one starts a digital evangelistic ministry, I believe the greatest risk that someone can run, and maybe it's not a risk, but it's just something to look out for, is the popularity that one can get just through their digital ministry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of popularity that can come from it if it's done right. And the danger to that is that it could get to one's head and they start doing it for personal gain and for fame and not for the spreading of the gospel. And so it's something that needs to be done prayerfully, and, you know, ask God for the humility that's needed for you to continually keep him the focus and the center of all the ministry that you'd be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also social media in general has its lures and its temptations. And if it's not used wisely, although you might think you are doing ministry, you might find yourself perhaps being addicted to social media and not using it for what it was initially intended for, what you initially intended it to do. And lastly, I think something that can be a danger would be someone preaching one thing on social media and living a completely different thing in person. And so when people meet you after they've seen your powerful ministry online, they realize that this brother or this sister is not necessarily living what they are preaching. So it's very easy to hide your personal life while preaching online or doing ministry online. So those are some of the things to look out for when doing digital evangelism. And of course, the benefits, I believe the number one benefit is, you know, it's something that can be easily done by anyone, and it's accessible to each and everyone. You can meet people where they are with their different needs, their different points of need. You can find them there, and you don't have to, you know, travel far distance people and share the gospel with them, but you can reach them wherever they are and wherever you are. And then also, it's a non-threatening form of evangelism in that you don't come across immediately as, oh, you impose your religion on someone else, but rather it's information that's there for people to see and listen to. And if they do come across it, they can easily do so in their personal private space without feeling judged, you know, for maybe taking a step towards Christianity or trying to strengthen their religion with God. It's something that can be a personal journey before they are ready to expose it to the world. So I think it's very comfortable in that sense for digital evangelism to be done. And above all, it's a relatable way of evangelism. Young people out there are, you know, not looking for things that are old and traditional, but they're looking for things that are the latest things. And if they see the gospel being produced or being presented in the latest ways of sharing information, then I believe it'll be more palatable for the younger audience.
Now, is there a way that we can measure the effectiveness? And I think this is the question that we implied earlier on, but I suppose this one is somewhat a different branch of that very same question. How do we measure the effectiveness of digital evangelism?
Well, it's now been made easier by the different algorithms that are available on the different social media spaces. With Instagram, you can activate a business account, which can allow you to see various analytics of the people that engage on your social media platforms. Because if you look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, it says, "And this gospel shall be preached to all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come." So the primary word, the key word there is as a witness, or as a witness. And we are called to witness, and a witness, all that they do in court is, you know, they testify of what they have to testify, and then they leave. They don't do the convicting, they don't do the ultimate judgment. So with that, I see that as a way of, you know, just the reach on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and other social media platforms. You have an analytic that shows you how many people have viewed what you have posted. So just that availability of them viewing the gospel, I believe that's a form of, you know, witnessing. It's a form of someone being a witness. So those numbers can actually be used as reports or feedback to see how many people you have reached. And then there are actions that can be taken from that, like or comment or, you know. So the engagement is there to a certain degree, and you can somehow see the feedback of people. You can ask them to comment, you know, like, share, subscribe, you know, all those things. And those are ways of actually gauging the effectiveness of what you are sharing. And you can encourage your viewers or listeners to comment. And by so doing, you can actually engage with them and see where you might have gone wrong, where you need to improve, what you might need to emphasize on more next time. And so such tools can actually help you. And then you can always plan events where you have gained a certain amount of following, and then have an in-person event, and then this following basis of yours can actually meet together and you can have interactions with them, and you see how far or how much they have benefited or learned from this ministry that you've been doing online. And those are some of the ways in which you can actually measure the impact that you are having on these digital platforms.
Mm. Man, Tafara, I must thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate your presence here, and truly thank you for coming through and talking to us about digital evangelism. Thank you so, so much for your time. Blessings to you.
It's only a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Lovely. Goodbye.
Right, bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.